Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am Cheryl Glick, your host and author of Life is No Coincidence and my new book, The Living Spirit. I am delighted to welcome Dr. Carmen Hara, who is a former guest of the show and author of 7 books. Today we will discuss her new book, co-authored with her daughter, Alexandra Hara, The Karma Queen's Guide to Relationships. And isn't that what everyone wants to know? How to improve their relationships and live in peace and harmony and love. Hello, Dr. Hara. Hello.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure. You've been my wonderful friend for a very, very long time. And I honor your friendship, and I also honor and admire your wonderful work.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I congratulate you on all the books and everything you're doing.
Well, I love all your new books, and I have read all your books. And you know, they resonate with truthful ways to look at old stories of patterns in our behavior and create marvelous new life patterns and new karma. Good karma. So, Carmen.
Good karma.
Good karma. That's what we, good energy and good karma. Carmen, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, my guests and I explore the universal world of energy, healing, and ways to awaken our human and divine potential to manifest creative influences in our relationships, health, and everyday life, improving our personal and collective lifestyles. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Dr. Carmen Hara, who is an internationally acclaimed intuitive psychologist, author, spiritual teacher, and karmic counselor, shares her gift of otherworldly sight, which became apparent from a young age when she had a near-death experience from drowning, and she will show us the secret of how to transform the karma in all our relationships, including attracting or keeping our soulmate. Carmen has employed her spiritual, her really many spiritual gifts to advance a greater view of the seen and unseen dimensions and how we are affected by our past connections to each other and universal life forces. Her daughter, Alexandra, is a certified life coach, writes professionally for the Huffington Post, and is a sought-after model. Carmen, please think back to a remembrance from childhood that may have guided you to the work and passionate life you live now.
If you want me to speak about the episode that I had that actually influenced my life in a remarkable way, I was 5 years old. And you know, 5 in the ancient teaching of Kabbalah is the 5th dimension, the house of transit of dying. Disconnected from the physical world. And I was 5 years old when I drowned and I didn't know how to swim. So I felt like I was leaving my body, but for a better world, like seeing a different world in a matter of probably seconds. So I look at my body going down the water and myself going up into a light. Now, everybody with near-death experience will describe the same thing, going into the light. It's interesting when we actually die, you know, the brain releases good feel hormones, and so the sense of dying is not at all unpleasant. On the contrary, you have a feeling of being transported in something beautiful. So that changes my perception. I feel people that have that experience, they don't look at the world only at the sensory level. They add other sensory levels into their perception. So they start looking at the world from above, from a different understanding. And ever since all my life, I felt like I knew more, I understand things differently, and I had a larger perspective of everything that was going on. Exactly like you said in your book, there are no coincidences, there's so many synchronicities, there's some kind of a divine plan, some order in the universe, there's so many universal laws that we follow. The same thing, you know, applies in our life and applies to relationships.
Carmen, when you had that experience, you came back with a new perception of life, yourself, and what you wanted to do in this world, and you have been gracious enough and loving enough to share it in everything you do, in your writing, in your sessions with people, in your travels, and it's a gift. It's a spiritual gift. We all have them, but some people who have had these out-of-body experiences or near-death experiences have no choice but to live the life they live and to share what they share with others, as you and I have been guided to do. What is karma? Let's give our listeners an idea of what it is, because there's many confused thoughts about it, but you clearly express what it is. So tell us something about karma.
Well, karma is an ancient teaching, and it's considered to be the number one law of spirituality. And it comes from the time of the Sanskrit writing and teaching, and it symbolizes the complexity of thoughts, action, intentions that create your physical reality. And whatever you put in the universe, you know, becomes a daily karmic pattern of behavior. And since we create every single day patterns of behavior towards ourselves, towards the people in our lives, so we take different actions, and those actions tend on repeating themselves. So karma in many ways is accumulation of everything that tends to manifest and repeat constantly, repetition. Karma means repetition. So you want to make sure that you break patterns in order not to repeat the same behavior or the same unpleasant situation over and over.
So really, karma is the memory of the soul and gives us opportunities to refine and to grow beyond certain repetitive patterns and to create something wonderfully new. Right, that's incredible.
That's exactly what I say in my show. And in my book, I said the karma is the memory, gets attached to the memory of the soul. So it gets attached. So for people who ignore their action, you know, this book was pretty much written for those people who need to understand that you cannot afford to ignore your intention and your actions, especially the negative ones, because you get trapped into your own patterns. It's like you're not moving forward. So when somebody calls me and says, "Well, Dr. Hara, I don't know, I'm bringing the same bad person in my life. I'm not succeeding. I'm not moving forward. I'm stuck in the same situation for 20 years. Then you have to go back to the origin, to the moment when you created that pattern of behavior and you got stuck into it. Because our bad karma, actually, at the end of the day, it affects us. So, not to mention there is good karma.
Well, actually, our bad karma is being created by our thoughts, our actions, our behaviors, and if we don't change it, we will continue to be stuck in it. So, you know, many people think karma is about cause and effect or only action and reaction, but actually, I think it's also a cycle of completion, growth, or support that is present in all our relationships. And for me, it seems at this time in my life seems to be mostly about relationships and learning how relationships offer us the way to refine our inner soul essence. And you talk about that in your book very much so, about relationships, and the whole focus of the book is about that. So how does karma play out in our relationships?
Oh, it constantly plays. I mean, we have numerous karmic relationships with talking about the fact that karma means memory, you know, you have karma with your family, you have karma with your, many times with the person you get involved with your spouse, you have karma even with your neighbor sometime, or people who come into your life accidentally. So you need to identify what kind of a karma you have, and you need to work it out. But it's interesting that there are different types of relationships. So I talk in my book about the four major types of relationships, one of them being the karmic relationship. So karma always comes in and gives relationship a certain twist. Let's say you get involved with somebody who's having a major psychological problem and you go through a divorce and you suffer. And so the karma has been already implemented. It exists, you know. So you need to pay attention to the kind of a situation that that karma, plays a certain role. So going back to the types of relationship, I just started to say there are karmic relationships, but there are also transitory relationships, there are soulmate relationships, or compromise relationships. And majority of us would do have kind of compromise relationships. I mean, after many years of marriage, you look at your marriage and you said, well, I've never married my soulmate. I just compromised because I wanted to settle down. I just wanted to marry for the sake of marrying, you know?
And I would think a lot of people would have those kind of relationships, maybe more so than even what you call a soulmate relationship. And why would that be? Because it's an opportunity, isn't it? A great opportunity? Because you can find love anywhere, with anyone, if you have the proper mindset and heart-based love, as you have.
I mean, love you can find, but finding that perfect match is very rare.
Yes, I agree.
Very rare. Like, imagine you are half of the sphere and you need the other half, you know, to match perfectly to create the will of life, the samsara. Because if you are two parts of the whole that you don't match, you cannot move the will of life. And that explains a lot of people who are not a match, but they decide to live a life together. And then what happens is that they cheat on each other, they go separate ways, they only compromise in front of the world like the other married couple, but in the end they completely live separate lives. And this is very common. We see this happening all the time because it's very hard to find that perfect match.
I agree, but I think we have to love as much as we can, because that's what we're here to do on this planet, to give and receive love and to find the best in ourselves and in others, and trust that there is purpose and opportunity in everything that happens. Now, you wrote something very lovely. You wrote about karma. You wrote, long before we are born, we begin to create relationships and consequently karmic ties. You are karmically linked to your mother who gave birth to you and to your father because you are his product. To a lesser degree, you are karmically linked to the doctor who delivered you, the kindergarten teacher who scolded you, your first boyfriend or girlfriend who broke your heart, or whose heart you may have broken, and so on. You go through life creating karma, resolving it, until your body is ready to expire and your soul ascends to the higher realm. The hope is that by then, all of your karma in this life will have been healed and rectified. And that explains quite a lot. So most of the people I think we meet in our life, we have some type of relationship to improve on, to grow, to develop, to learn more about ourselves. Wouldn't you think that's what it is, to learn more about ourselves?
Absolutely. But it's not interesting that the word relationship comes from the Latin word relatio, which means to restore. So relationship actually meant to restore, to bring balance, to bring harmony, to bring stability. So relationship in itself, they are such beautiful tools of empowerment, of learning, of feeling secure and feeling confident in this world. So feeling protected in this world. I mean, if you have somebody great into your life, you feel so protected. But the reality is now that not all relationships are like that, but the essence of them will be extremely positive. It's exactly like the word karma. You can create a lot of good karma every day if you pay attention. You can do a lot of good things towards you and the world around and the people who come into your life. So, and then you live very peaceful, and then you really evolve, and then you celebrate your life, and then you understand your meaning, your purpose, because your karma works hand in hand with your mission. And then you're not suffering, you know, frustration and insatisfaction, and you don't go to all kinds of mental imbalances, because all this wrong action leads to a lot of physical problems, believe it or not. You know, when you don't act in harmony with the world around, you create disharmony that is reflected in your own body.
Yes.
So people who get sick, people who go to diseases, people who got cancer, they have their own conflict with their inner world, you know. There's some heavy action that has been created by them or implemented by somebody else, that they never took care of it. And at some point, you know, the body releases those dangerous chemicals, and then the disease, the disconnect will take place, and this is the way we're actually getting sick.
Absolutely.
If you pay attention, I mean, there's karmic diseases. You have a disease that is actually karmic, that comes back to you because you had it before and it was never healed or never resolved.
Yeah, you never corrected the problem or the relationship, and you allowed it to cause anguish in you and anxiety and fear and pain and sorrow and depression and all kinds of negative emotions that do eventually lead to disease. Now, I know you love Rumi, and I love Rumi too, the ancient poet, and he suggests that there are ways to resolve relationship karma. And some of the things he says are challenge fear, be bold. You're living your life like this. I'm trying, but you're really doing it greatly. Have gratitude. Take action. Have faith. As you start to walk out on the way appears. Embrace setbacks. Look inside. Your task is not so much to seek for love, but find the barriers you have created within yourself against it. And then learn from suffering. The wound is the place where the light enters you. Don't be concerned with what others think about you. Do what you love. And that is the way to good health, to resolving any karma situation, and to living a very humane and purposeful life. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And what I also think is that, you know, it's so easy to live in harmony with yourself and the world. It's more complicated to create chaos. But under the same token, if you look around how many dysfunctional families you see, how much struggle. We live in the world of depression. We live in the world of Prozac, of Zoloft, of clonazepam, of Xanax. So it's just sad to see how the world depends on swallowing pills every day. Most likely because of all these disorder like panic attacks, anxiety, bipolar, and why is all talking about karma in the world? What is going on in the world of autoimmune disorders becoming an epidemic? Almost like I feel the world has an autoimmune disorder, which means we're attacking ourselves, you know?
Well,
that's an autoimmune disorder.
Yes.
You attack yourself, but at the global level, the world has an autoimmune disorder. So that's what's happening in the world right now.
Thank you very much for
that
saying
that.
Yeah.
Karma, a book on karma comes and clarifies something that applies at a larger scale, you know? So be aware globally what the collective mind of the planet does and how much we need to heal karmically, you know, and create more harmonious relationship globally so that the world thrives and we are finally stepping into a different era of light and fulfillment and stopping the killing and nonsense for thousands of years.
Well, so this goes to the next question, very important. What should everyone start to do if they're trapped in bad karma or bad relationships? And this would carry forth for helping the whole world if people would begin. So what do we have to do?
So karma is something you reverse. You can't turn it around. It's like, okay, you went this way for, like, say, 10 years. The moment you wake up and say, I'm not going to do this anymore because I'm doing something bad towards the world around and myself, let me change it. Let me move it around. You know, I can switch the action into a different direction. So at that point in time, I acknowledge, so it's something that I become aware. Exactly like people self-destruct, they drink, they smoke, that's a self-destructive pattern. The moment you acknowledge, I'm not going to do this to myself, that's also bad karma. You know, because you self-destruct. That's not positive action. That's negative action towards yourself. The moment you decide, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take charge. I'm going to turn the wheel around. I'm going to make things right for myself. I can be healed. So the karma can be erased and deleted. It's like an information in the computer. You know, you delete the information. You don't want to use it anymore. You break the pattern of behavior.
Yeah, everyone needs to be careful, more careful perhaps, of whom they give lovingly. Because you described something that I had not thought of before, but it makes sense to me. When a person is thoughtless or selfish or cruel, and a giving person, a person who is very open, is creating good karma, of course, that's what we want to do, and it feels right and it is right, but they're also receiving the bad karma created by an ungrateful recipient of their good deeds. You wrote that's something to be aware of and something to look for. So sometimes we can be with people, we can wish them well, but perhaps they're not the best people for us to be so intimately connected to, because they're bringing our energy and our love of life down. So we have to be aware of these things. We have to take care of ourselves first and foremost, right? And improve ourselves, and then hopefully those around us will also benefit from it. And you also give daily effort. You say we need daily efforts to develop a sense of this self-worth. What are some of the things we should do for ourselves to develop our sense of self-worth?
Well, you know, you need to empower you. If people don't empower themselves, they raise the level of your self-esteem, raise the level of your belief in you, and find your inner strength, find your skills, your abilities that you've been equipped with and you're never aware of it. So working on you to build the good in you, you know, and the trust in yourself put yourself sometimes on a pedestal, that's perfectly fine. You know, if you don't believe in you, who's going to believe in you? Think high of you. Think that you have the potential. You know, cultivate your own self and your own soul and your own higher self.
And
your ego. The problem is that people operate on the ego level. So ego is destructive.
Right.
So we need to operate at the level of the higher self, which is the higher dimension, in order for us to really, you know, embark on creating the best version of ourselves. Don't settle for a meager job. Don't think of you, less of you. Think the best of you.
Yeah, put those thoughts out there. Project your intentions very boldly and be willing to take a risk. Very, very important. Now, this is important, the four universal rules of time and how they do affect our relationships. Now, most people are not too patient. They think they have to have it right this minute or it's never happening. And that's not quite true about karma and the universal laws of energy. So what are these universal time rules that you talk about?
Well, everything is in flux, you know, everything is in flux. And timing is everything, but everything is in time. So there's like a divine timing. Things don't happen where we want them to happen. They happen when they meant to happen. So when you come to that realization that what is meant to happen will happen, and you have the patience and the confidence that there is a divine timing, then you learn to wait. And boy, isn't this such a patient, is such a, you know, virtue.
Yes.
So, but everything
that
happens,
it is,
as I said, in divine order.
Yes. And you also say for a relationship to be infused with love, and karma does offer us the opportunity to find love in many relationships, not just a romantic relationship, but in every area of our life, with every person in our life. So you say for a relationship to be infused with love, and this is most important, what does there have to be? What do we have to have this love energy?
Well, you know, there are many emotions in this world. We come from a drop of emotion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're emotional. We cry when we're happy. We cry when we're sad, you know. So we made a war 80%, so we're emotional people. But unfortunately, there are four major dominant emotions, like anger, hatred, fear. And then the fourth one is the only positive emotion that erases karma, that empowers us, is the emotion of love.
Yes.
And I think if we will globally cultivate the pure unconditional love, then suddenly this world is the paradise that the Creator designed it to be. So because we have this reptilian brain and we operate on bad feelings or bad emotions, you know, we create that negative action and consequently a karma that we get trapped into. But if you pray through your negative emotion of anger and most likely hatred and fear as a number one emotion that dominates the world, we live in fear. Mm-hmm. In fear of tomorrow, in fear that we cannot make it. But if you bring in the emotional love, all these negative emotions will be eliminated. And so that's why if you look at people like teachers of the world, Dalai Lama, Buddha, you know, who you think of, they have a constant smile on the face. They're in a state of joy.
Yes.
There's no fear there. There's a smile that means, I love you. I'm perfectly fine. I mean, everything is perfect in my world. My world is perfect. I'm the architect of my life. I live supported by God. So when you start saying things like this, you know, you create
yes.
that.
So, Carmen, I think so. For people to be infused with the love that we're talking about, there needs to be excitement and laughter and energy. Very important, willful sacrifice. They must be selfless, and they must nurture others. If you have those qualities, you can help but being happy yourself and giving it out into the world. And you wrote about that in your book. I want to thank you, Dr. Carmen Hara, and your daughter, Alexandra Hara, authors of The Karma Queen's Guide to Relationships, for sharing a most relevant and ever-timely look at relationships and the karmic factors that influence how we improve or just simply survive in life. And we don't want to simply survive. We want to improve and develop meaningful relationships, creating a healthier and more joyful life experience. For more information and to purchase this book, go to drcarmenhara.com or alexandrahara.com and Amazon. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have explored the simple but mindful approaches we must take every day to resolve our outstanding karma by modifying behavior, elevating self-love, and practicing exercises to purify, renew, and restore energy. Miraculous relationships are the product of eradicating the negative effects of the past and creating new positive karma for a joyful, healthy, and prosperous future. Carmen Hara has compassionately revealed once again the source of a fulfilled and meaningful life, which is the ability to consciously love and be loved. We must realize that karma is perhaps the number one driving force beyond all our experiences and relationships, and I believe is the reason a soul chooses a physical life incarnation in order to complete certain cycles, feel and refine emotions, attitudes, behaviors, and learn greater self-love. Carmen and Alexandra would have you remember that love is universal, and love is your birthright, and love extends far beyond romantic relationships. There's familial love, parent-child love, the love you share with close friends, love you share with people around you who live nearby or work with, and love you have for strangers, simply because, like you, they're just people trying to live happily. Carmen, Alexandra, and I would have you begin in this moment to act from a place of love in all your thoughts and behaviors, knowing that when we come from that higher state of conscious action, solutions to any situation can be found, and people can find a common ground for working and living in harmony. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within and author of The Living Spirit, and invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear my guests and I share a universal theme for understanding ourselves and life in a more positive and conscious way, always seeking the high road to self-improvement and an improved world condition. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.com. dreamvision7radio.net. Thank you.